series called Fixed, and not fixing things on the idea of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. As we head and zoom closer and closer to Easter, it's coming, it's going to be here, we want to really hone in on what it means to have our eyes fixed on Jesus today. And so when we're talking about this, we're in this series where we all handle things that are harder than we expected. And you wake up one day and you go, what in the world just happened to me? What is going on in my life? All these things that just keep getting thrown at us. And then we put in all the things that Jim was talking about, all the media that we listen to and watch and see, and it's just confusing. It's confusing as all get out. And then we plan and we prepare and we try to do what we think is our best, and then the bottom falls out anyway. And we're going, what are you doing, God? And I realize that so many of you in this room have gone through a lot recently. And our church family has gone through a lot. And our world is going through a lot. Some of you have had horrendous couple years. My family has has a horrible year with different things. Not just me, lots of people in my family. And many of you have had health issues. Many of you have had emotional problems. Many of you have had things that I can't begin to fathom. I don't understand your problem, but I know if it's your problem, it's a big problem because it affects you. It doesn't matter the magnitude. It doesn't how big it is or how small it is. It's your problem. It's a problem. And we tend to do that. We tend to look at ourselves and we say, well, I'm not as bad as they are, so, you know, just don't worry about me. I just got a foot that's hurt, so don't worry about me. No, that's not God's eye is on the sparrow, and his eye is on you today. It's on you. He knows every hair that falls out of your head. He knows every sparrow that falls. God knows. In my own life, the last 10 months have been a roller coaster. I've been in the hospital 10 times. I've had maybe 35 doctor visits, and I'm still not fixed. The Wallace family is going through it this week, just this week, very fresh. The Farrell family is here. They have been going through it for a couple years, and Mitzi and Wade and all their family just coming alongside and trying to figure out what's going on with them and how to best support them and love them. The Warner family, Bob and Pauline, haven't been here for Pauline has just struggled. Nadine Davenport, I don't think she's here today, but she's been on the struggle bus since last year. Bruce and Lois, as I already mentioned, and a lot of you have loved ones that are hurting. You're hurting. I get it. And so some guy and Jim stand up here and say, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and it's easy to say that, right? It's easy to say that, but it's harder to do it. It's harder to do it when you have a plan and then it just falls out from underneath of you. So today I want to read to you from Hebrews where we're going to go today, and I'm honing in on one particular verse of this passage that we've been tearing apart the last several weeks. It says this, and I started one again. You've heard this. Each week we've gone over a different section of this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run the perseverance, the race marked out for us. And here's where we're going to land today. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And that's my message to you today. I don't want you to lose heart. And some of you are. Some of you are losing heart because the things of life are compounding around you. And so today I want to share with you three patterns that I want you to think about and then take home. And then I'm going to kind of close with some personal things. And so I want to encourage you with that and see where God goes with that this morning. The first pattern that I want to share with you is the pattern of Jesus' life. His life was such an example. And when we say this, fixing our eyes on Christ, We have to look at his example because that's what he gave it to us for. That's why he gave us the Bible. He gave us the Bible to be able to look for his example. The Hebrew writer actually shows us and implies that when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we get joy. Joy comes when you fix your eyes on Christ. And most of us are struggling with joy right now. You can get happiness a little bit. You can get a new car and it gives you happiness until you have to pay the bill. You can buy some new stuff and do some things on your house, and just as soon as you get those things remodeled, there's something else that needs remodeled. And you go and you go and you go and you go. The Hebrew writer tells us that joy comes from keeping our eyes fixed and following Christ. When Christ was alive and on this earth, and he had tough seasons of pain from the time he was born, there was people looking to kill him until the time that they actually put him on the cross. He had a lot of family strife. And I'll read two scriptures for you, and I believe they should come up here. Is he said this, he said, "I am a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my mother's children." And then it says in John 7:5, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." What a horrible thing to have, family strife. Anybody got family strife going on today? Nah, none of you, right? Family's all good, except the Brown family. They got their whole contingency here, and they're all like this. So, but honestly, family strife is tough because it's your blood. And when families don't agree or don't get along or upset or don't talk or whatever, it's like, and Jesus understood that, his very example to us. And so when we go through heartache and when we go through struggles, the first question that always comes to our mind is, how did God bring anything good out of this? How in the world? From what's going on. Talked to Terry and Michelle today, and what could possibly good come out of this? We don't know yet, but God does. Jesus knew what it was like to be betrayed by his friends. He spent 3 years with his guys, and to the end, they still didn't get it. And they ended up saying, who's Jesus? I, that's not me. I don't know Jesus. And Judas even betrayed him for about a month's salary. What a horrible guy. But before we throw stones at Judas, we're kind of there to ourselves, aren't we? And through his heartache, Jesus was looking at these people that he thought were going to be his friends, that were going to come alongside of him and going to be there and not deny him and all those things. He says this in John 10:10. "The thief comes to kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life to its full." And church, that's why we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because he came, because the other guy comes to make everything horrible. Everything in your life to make it horrible. And to take what you think is going to be okay and to completely screw it up. That's the other guy. But Jesus said, "I came to give you a full life." And it's time that his people start having a full life. Not full of crud, full life of joy. And able to do that, even in the circumstances, even in the pain, even in the ER visits, even in the horrible things that you have to go through, you can find some joy. And that is a tough assignment. That's a tough assignment. Rest assured, Jesus didn't give us a pattern to follow and then leave you hanging. He gave you that pattern for a purpose. That leads us to the second one. The second pattern for our lives is this. It is that he wants our presence. He wants to be in your life. He wants you to listen, and he wants you to shut up, and he wants you to listen, and he wants to speak some things to you. One way we find God's presence is through God's word. And that's the easiest way to find his presence. And so many of us don't open it up. Even in your phone. It's right there in your phone, that thing that you ask everything else in the world about. We don't do that little Bible app that's free, by the way. You don't have to pay any money for it. You don't have to pay $19.95. You have it right there. His word is a way to have his presence because it tells us who he is, what he says, and what he wants us to do. And every day yet, we say things like this: I just don't know what to do. You ever done that? Done that lately? I have. Excuse me. Need a drink. John 1:4 says this. Here comes the cough. Sorry. John 1:14. The word became flesh. That's Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We also have his church. We have the family of God. These people right here are your family or your church where you attend. It's your family. 1 Corinthians 12 says we all have different roles in the body. And within the church, if one part suffers, we all suffer. And there's some people suffering. And so you need to suffer on their behalf a little too. And that's how we get his presence in our life, is through the church. And then we get his presence through the Holy Spirit, the best gift of all. We always talk about communion being the best meal of the week. The Holy Spirit is the best gift of all. He doesn't get any closer than your heart. When you became a Christian, he invaded your heart. He went into your heart, and he gives you that presence. Can't get any closer than that. The holiest spot on this earth is your heart. I want you to think about that today. Sorry. Here it comes. Lord, stop this. I'm so sorry. I've done this before. You know it if you've been here. Here's the point about these three things, you know. The important thing is this, that Jesus could live anywhere he wants to. But not my voice. One of those 40 documents. Here we go. The church, helping the church. There you go. Thank you. All it took was him to come up here. Romans 8:11 says this. Why does your heart become the holiest place on the earth? Because the Spirit who lives in you, the Spirit of God lives in you. It doesn't get any closer than that. When you're in the hospital room, when you're in the wreck, where the wreck happened, wherever it is you are, he lives in you. You don't have to ask him to come. He's there. Take advantage of it, church. It is the least used part of who God is. We cry out to him, but we forget he's right there. In our text, it says, let us fix our eyes. What happens when we fix our eyes? Jesus, sometimes he changes things, right? Sometimes he does. I've seen him work the last couple months. It's been incredible. And sometimes he doesn't. And we ask for his presence. And we ask for his support. And we ask him to do something. And sometimes he doesn't. And so then we figure out, what is it you're trying to have me do here, God? Which leads us to the third pattern. And that's the pattern of our purpose. That he has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for the problems you're going through. He has a purpose for the joys you're going through. He has a purpose for everything. There is a purpose, a deep, deep purpose that he has. I don't know what's going on. What gives our life meaning is that God gives you and me a purpose. And I want you to know that he can change your life through this pattern of purpose, if you understand it. He wants your circumstances that you've gone through. He wants all the valleys. He wants all the mountaintops to bring measure of purpose into your life, even the horrible ones, even the losses. Here we go. All right. Thank you. That'll give me a second to get the cough off. As I stated, I want to get personal a little bit. I don't often do this. Maybe it's because I'm going to get personal. That's why we're doing it. Anyway, here we go. As I stated, beginning these past 10 months for me and my family have been a very hard, challenging time. We've had a doozy since last Easter. I can be fine one day, and the next day my heart is racing, and I can't breathe, and I immediately have to go to the ER, and I have to get cardioverted. It is not a picnic to have that done. Two pads put on your shirt. Probably a lot of you have done that, so I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me, but I want to explain my journey a little bit. So last Easter, I had my first episode. I say, hey, God, please heal me. I did pretty good until I made it from Easter to the 4th of July. And he said, nope, down in Ben Sins, and we're down visiting my kids. Go, you have to rush to the hospital, 4th of July. I cried out, God, no, please heal me. Please stop this. I go to the doctor. My doctor's Adam's dad. He's a wonderful man. He puts me on a bunch of high-dollar, high-powered medicines, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a month. And I cried out. October 17th, I had an operation that was supposed to do it. It's an ablation. Very simple procedure. Some of you probably had it. And I prayed, God, please take it away. And then on my birthday, November 10th, it showed back up. I'm in my ER, at 1 o'clock in the morning, shocked again, put on more higher meds. Each time I feel lousy for a couple weeks after that, because when they shock your heart, you tend to feel it for a while, and you feel lousy for a couple weeks after. So I prayed, God, please take it away. Please stop it. I have things I want to do. I have things I want to do for you. I want to be a shepherd. I want to be a person that can stand in front of people and not cough to death. I want to be a person that can come into and do and be a part, because that's where we've been the last 22 years that we've been here. And on my birthday, November 10th, I show up and I have my birthday shock. Christmas night, 1 p.m. Holidays are starting to be really bad for me. Brenda and I get to the hospital, and I get my Christmas shock, and they go, well, let's put you on some more meds and some more meds. I cry out one more time, God, please let this be the last time. Please let this be the last time. Nope. February 14th, Valentine's Day, end up in the hospital. They try a magic pill. They put this magic pill, and it's kept me, I got through St. Patrick's Day. No, I didn't have to go to the hospital, so that's good. Ote. And I say all this, it's so easy to get disappointed. And I understand. I'm saying that not to let you know that I'm standing here going, I want you to feel sorry for me, because that's not what I want. I want you to understand, just like Christ, just like everybody else, we all go through things. We all go through things. And your things are your things, and they're huge, and they're big, and they're hurtful, and they're painful, and they're disappointing, and they're fearful, and they do all those things to us. But I'm a shepherd who wants to be involved. And I said, God, why me? Why? So I stand here today, and I don't know what's going to happen this Easter. And I don't know what's going to happen the 4th of July. And I don't know what's going to happen Memorial Day. But I know who's going to be with me through each one of those things. And you see, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, what typically happens, and here's the part I want you to listen to. Please don't tune out, okay? I know I talked about myself, and you could talk about yourself, and you said, well, I want to encourage you today that Jesus doesn't always fix things. He fixes our focus, and he helps us look at it from a different perspective, and that's what I've done. That's what I've found, and I have had a deeper relationship with God than I've had the last 40-some years of my life. Why? Because I had to. And I think he was wanting me to go a little deeper. You see, we take our eyes off of Christ so easily. And other things become more important, and other things become more of a priority. And so I want to share with you as we close today four takeaways that I want you to from this in my journey the last 10 months. And then I think they're apropos for yours, for whatever you're going through. And again, I don't say these things to you today to stand up here and have you go, oh, Jeff, you poor guy. No, that's not it. I stand up here to say God will do something through your tough patch, whatever it is. He will be there, even if it's not the way that you want it to be answered. First takeaway is this. My wife is a selfless servant. And this time has really reinforced again for me what an incredible journey that I've had. I've woken her probably 20 times I have this watch that I have to, and I go into AFib all the time, but sometimes I go out and I say that we've got to go, but it doesn't go. So I've woken her 20 times, and she faithfully just gets in and drives me, and I can't drive. I can't, because my heart rate's about 190, and I can't breathe, so I have to go. And I get to the ER, and she waits on me, and I come home, and she waits on me. I've been walking around a wounded guy for the last 10 months, and I'm not complaining, and I'm praising, because I'm waiting on God to heal me. And sometimes he says no, and he says, my grace is enough for you. And I understand that now. I understand when Paul asked that, and I understand that that's what he asked of us. My second takeaway is this. I love our church. I love our church. I don't know why I'm getting kind of, I don't want to cry. Excuse me. This is such a special family. You don't let divisive spirit find a home here. There's never been that. You have opinions about everything, just like everybody, but you're able to keep them and go for the good of the family. It's been incredible. You encourage people. You lift people up. Two times, Tiffany brought me cards from the kids back there, and I want to read you this one card. There was probably 30 cards, and these mean so much to me. Hello, I know you're sick, but there's still hope. Thank God. There's still hope you can get better. You are thought about every day by countless people. And though you are sick, you are important to many. You matter. What a neat little card from a child. We don't do cards, I didn't understand, as a society anymore, but kids, that's one of the way they express themselves. And I got a whole stack of them. I got a poster back of my, it encourages me. Even if they don't even really know who I am, they write me some nice little notes. And that's been such a great thing. And so many people stepped up. Bob and Tanya, my own daughters and son-in-laws, our elders, many of you. I love this church. And I will go to my grave loving it. The third takeaway is that God's will is bigger than my circumstances. God's will, what he wills for your life, is bigger than anything going on. And he unfolds things in different ways, I think in different times, just to help strengthen us. And that's what he's wanting to do in you. He's done it in me, and he wants to do it in you. We look and we find him when we're circling the drain. When we're circling the drain of despair and fear and anger and depression, and we find hope and love and his resurrection power, that's what we've got to work towards, church. And the fourth and final takeaway is where we started this message and where Jim kicked us off. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It's come through strongly for me that God is so divine. That he endured the cross for me. He endured the cross for you. His motives were pure. His heart is always right, and not mine is. My heart is ever, never, ever right all the time. It's jacked. I get angry. I get sad. I get depressed. I get disappointed. So do you. Earthly leaders will disappoint you, and I have disappointed a lot of you. I understand that. Earthly leaders get sick. Earthly leaders make choices we don't like, but Jesus follows through, and Jesus always keeps his word. He is eternal, and he is the hope of the world, church. And I got to tell you something as I put a period on this lesson today. There are folks in our world, in our community, who are spiritually hungry, and they don't even realize it. And they're looking for one person, and they don't even realize who that is. And to think that they will walk into your workplace, to think that they will walk into this church, to think that they will come into contact with you, they are coming to see one person and one person only. You know who that is? It's Jesus. They're not coming here for a pastor or for the worship or the nice, you know, they're not coming for any of that. They're coming to see Jesus, and they don't even know it. And that's one of the things that Easter is so good for us about. And if you're not asking other people, not showing other people to see Jesus, to come see Jesus, to see Jesus in your life, you're missing what Jesus wants for you. They are coming to see one person and one person alone. Let's pray as the band comes.